When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, I'm just going to read this text and get it out of the way as we're talking about toughness along the offensive line, guys willing to fight. Seth, you yourself even said, you know what? Say what you will about Kendrick Green, but man, at least that dude was fighting out there last night, unlike Kenyon Green. You know, he was scrapping, right?
Yeah. There's just, Kenyon Green is the glaring weakness, but the whole overall vibe of that offensive line just inspires zero confidence. And I get so disgusted when people put up Laremy Tunsil's PFF pass protection grades or Titus Howard's PFF pass protection grades.
Yeah.
Just watch the damn games.
Tell me if that's
what you want. You know, there's all those teams out there that don't have these glorious PFF pass protection grades that have much better offenses. Let's worry about that.
Right.
You know? Like, okay, oh, great. You've got a finesse left tackle would I want a guy like Trent Williams, who's actually a good all-around player? Oh, God, no. I want a finesse left tackle.
Right.
That's who I want to be the highest paid guy on my team.
5-Hour Energy fan line. That is our text page. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Hey, Seth. You know who they need on the O-line? Trevor effing Penning, LMAO.
Yeah, he's not tough either. That's the problem. That's the problem with NFL personnel people these days. They don't actually understand what offensive line toughness is.
Yeah.
They need to get They need to get together a panel of defensive linemen and just to watch guys in college and be like, is this guy fake tough or genuine tough?
Right.
And they're like, oh, no, that guy's fake tough. He's going to get his ass beat.
Yep.
Like Trevor Penning. Trevor Penning's getting destroyed as an actual offensive lineman. Once a game, he'll drive a safety out of bounds or something, and everybody loses their crap in the fake tough world of the offensive line selection committees and what have you. And they think, oh, look at how tough he is. Well, he's getting destroyed as a pass protector. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what your version of toughness is. My version of toughness is guys who beat the snot out of guys and block them successfully.
Yes.
Both in the run and the pass game.
Yep.
And there's no Kendrick Green's the first guy I've seen all year that's gone out there and I felt like, oh, okay, well, at least that guy's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good he is, but at least he's tough.
Yeah.
There's none of that with the rest of the offensive line. They don't care. You can question their toughness all you want. They don't care.
They don't. That's why for people who are like, yeah, fire the offensive line coach. Yeah, maybe. If you do that as a way to try to jolt somebody, I don't know that it works. I don't think these guys are joltable.
Shaq Mason, I think, is genuinely at his core a tough guy. I don't know if he's getting older. He's been spending too much time next to the Instagram OTs. But, dude, that guy gets bull rushed back into CJ's lap regularly.
It's crazy.
And I don't know if it gets chalked up as a pressure or not. He is on skates, rocketing backwards to try to box out CJ Stroud.
Yeah, man.
Nobody boxed out. I wish NBA centers still cared about boxing out the way that Shaq Mason does.
Yes.
Because, man, he boxes out CJ. CJ has zero rebounds when boxed out by Shaq Mason.
Zero chance of getting a rebound with Shaq Mason on the field. Speaking of CJ, here was CJ talking last night after the game about the issues up front protecting him.
First, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this opportunity, you know, to play on Thursday night, on Halloween, you know, and, you know, I often, you know, it's hard, you know, to just sit here right now and think about what happened because you didn't watch film yet. But, of course, you know, it's embarrassing. And, you know, to come out here on a primetime game and, you know, get embarrassed like that is never fun. And, you know, I believe, you know, we have to be better in a lot of areas. You know, and that starts with me. You know, I think there's plays I got to make, throws I got to make. You know, times I got to sit in the pocket and just trust my guys. You know, so I really point the finger at me and realize, you know, I got to be better as a football player. And you know, if we want to win, this is not the recipe for it. We got to learn how to dominate and stop learning how to, you know, just go with the flow and play in the fourth quarter. Like, we should be able to, you know, play good in the first half and then roll into the second. I think we got to have a better mindset as a whole.
Okay. Nothing about make sure you're positive about these guys when they do protect me well. Remember that after the Green Bay game?
Oh, yeah. Keep that same energy. Hey, man. Keep that same energy. Listen, I'll tell you, everybody all right now, this is a public service announcement. Never ask me to keep that same energy because it will not be kept, okay? When they start doing their job adequately, what am I supposed to just start? Give them my firstborn child? Here you go. And all the gold that you can carry in your cart, sir. You're doing what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Yay!
Yeah. No,
this offensive line is in shambles. There's just nothing about it that I feel good about.
Nope.
Damn it.
No. And it's really they're very pot committed to this group too, man. That's the tough part right now. All right. Someone is saying, guys, look at the beginning of the video. DeMeco does shake Aaron Rodgers' hand. DeMeco is shielding him from camera. It's pretty obvious. I choose to believe that maybe that DeMeco snubbed him. Can I still live in my fantasy world where DeMeco is a snubber? Can I do that? DeMeco, I believe you that DeMeco did shake Aaron Rodgers' hand. I don't think that DeMeco is nearly as petty as I am.
I think it was one of those things also where I think the more likely explanation is because I don't think DeMeco is much of a snubber.
Yeah.
I think the more likely explanation is it's like at a party, that awkward, like at a greeting line or something where you've already said a brief greeting to somebody, but you don't know them that well. And then all of a sudden you find yourself face to face with them.
Again.
And you're just kind of like, you know what it's like, Sean? This is what happens. This is one of the best parts about being middle-aged kids. Don't worry. Look forward to it. Lots of things get easier and easier as
For
you get
sure.
older. It's the best is when you catch somebody at the grocery store that you haven't seen in a while, and you both briefly make eye contact, and you both kind of are like, nope, not right now. and then you act as if it never happened at all. At least that's what I do.
Yeah.
I assume that they feel the same way. I don't know. But I'm just kind of like, nope, I'm not going to. It's not that I even avoided them. It's like, nope, not happening today. I'm going to keep on trucking over towards the Cheerios.
Yeah,
yep.
See, that's that's the grocery store for you because you spend most of your time in a home where it's just you and your family. I'm in a building where I run into people all the time.
Right. You've already said hi for the morning, but you don't know them that well.
Yeah. Like, there's like 30 or 40 people in my building that I need to keep like a dossier on where I'm like, okay, is this a hello person for me? Is this a stop and talk to person? Like, I've got to keep that. It's a lot to keep track of, man. There's a lot of benefits to living in a high rise. Being social is not one of them. It's a lot to process, man. 713-572-4610. Larry and Stafford texted me last night during the post-game show and said, I can't do this tonight. I can't. I'm too mad. I'm anxious to see how angry Larry is right now. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hey, Sean, Seth. I'm still angry, dog. Look, last night I did one of the things I had probably never done. I censored myself from calling y'all. Because what I saw last night, beyond just an embarrassment, I saw a football team that I have bled and loved from inception go out there and literally make my quarterback look like he has never played football before. And that is something that I would have bet a lot of money on that would not have happened this season. That offensive line over there, you can fire the coach, you can fire Slowick or whatever. That soft-ass offensive line over there is an embarrassment. They look like they don't care. I watched them from the moment that we started that game, and from Laramie Tunsil to Titus Howard all the way across the board is a straight-up group of dudes who are actively letting my quarterback regress to the point that people are saying that he is the problem. C.J. Stroud is not the problem. He never has been the problem. What we are witnessing is a complete failure on D'Amico Ryan's part by not allowing that this situation, for allowing this situation to get to this point. Bobby Slowick is a mess. And for everybody that says, well, it's not just Bobby, it's not just Bobby, you are a damn lie. Because if Bobby Slowick goes out there and play that first quarter of football like he did, and we watch C.J. Stroud's feet never get set or get comfortable because he is consciously looking at ghosts over his shoulders or looking at dudes sitting in his lap, and Bobby Slowick does nothing to change that. And then this jackass goes out in the second half, in the fourth quarter, with 9 minutes left in the game, and this jackass sends my quarterback to wide receiver to catch a pass when we have an opportunity to go up and win this game. How in the hell do you live in a universe that you take the ball out of my quarterback's hand and give it to Joe Mixon to become my quarterback? That is some dumbass football. And as we sit here, I have people texting me, relax, they're 6-3 and all this other stuff. You are a lie if you think that this is winning football. And for us to sit here and watch this stuff continuously going on when we had expectations through the roof and everybody, well, when Nico comes back, that changes everything. You're a damn lie. You're a lie. Because here's the problem. D'Amico Ryan decided he was going to put Jalen Petrie on one of the best wide receivers in the history of football when they have a chance to stop. It's systemic over there on Kirby, and they better get it figured out, because now you are getting to the point where the season is on the brink, because now nobody trusts none of y'all ass to give us a product that we can be proud of. You know how, Sean, you asked, when did you ever feel good about that game?
Yeah.
Never. And you know how I know that that game was no good? Because when D'Amico and CJ both went up to the podium last night, they both looked miserable. This is a problem, and Nick better pull his head out of his ass, because he's going to start catching some. Bobby Slowick, your ass needs to go in our hall.
I appreciate you, Larry. Larry, I don't think you simmered down from last night.
That trick play, man. Yeah. I mean, all trick plays are not created equal. I know the explanation D'Amico gave was that you got to execute the trick play. The offensive line, and he said they were hoping that the defense would bite on run. Okay, your offensive line did zero on that play to make it look like run.
Right.
Not a single damn thing. Not a single damn thing. Like there's not a linebacker or a safety on earth that's gonna look at that and be like, whoa, Nelly.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yep.
And then aside from not making it look like run, they got pushed into the backfield enough to disrupt Kendrick Green, who was pulling, so he couldn't get out and block the defensive end that Dalton Schultz couldn't block. And it was just a mess. And so you're relying on DJ Reed, one of the better cornerbacks in the league, to completely whiff and leave CJ Stroud all by his own. You're relying on the idiocy of a good football player there on that play, that you'd have a wide open CJ Stroud. Instead, it turns out into, hey, not just let's run a fade, but let's run a fade to our not so athletic quarterback.
Yes.
And expect, were you surprised that Joe Mixon was under duress when he was trying to pass the ball? Was that a surprise to you that the passer was going to be under duress?
Think of how stupid it is that you're having to say the words Joe Mixon when he's passing the ball. Like,
right.
You're having to use that so that you're merely, for pressure or no pressure, that with 9 minutes left in a game, we're at 2nd and 7 at the opposing team's 10-yard line. You know, they always have that question, Seth, where they ask offensive coordinators, like, what's the one play, man? Like, if you got to have it. You got that one play that you feel comfortable about, you got comfortable about, that you got to run. And to be truthful, like, offensive coordinators probably have 5 or 6 of those plays, right? To Larry's point, there's 9 minutes left in a game that you're trailing by 4, where points have been at a premium all game long. It's 14-10. It ain't 34-30 at that point. You use those plays. Don't use the play where Joe Mixon is in Wildcat throwing the ball on a fade route in the back of the end zone. Honestly, a low percentage play if you were throwing it to Nico Collins. That's the thing.
Right, right. Like, yeah, yeah. Throwing a fade is just, it's low percentage, even with a precise quarterback.
Yeah, I hate fades. Like, I don't like them because they're low percentage to begin with. And you're throwing it to CJ Stroud, where honestly, more bad. I'm not even talking about an incompletion or an interception. I'm talking about more physical damage. You're putting him in yet
where he's
another
taking all kinds of damage to begin with.
Right. He goes to the ground. What, like, honestly, like, because CJ would. If Joe Mixon put it in a spot where CJ had to dive to catch that football, CJ would dive to catch the football. He ain't letting that thing hit the ground. It's just so silly, man. It's just so silly.
And, man, that turf, too.
Yeah.
Every time CJ was getting hurt, you can tell by it. Sean, I'm a connoisseur of bad turf, having played at a smaller college in the 1990s, that I played on a lot of bad turf in my time. Oh. I can tell by looking at it what kind of turf that is. I judge that book by its cover. That it is rock hard. Like, that is, you can just, it's crazy that you build a new stadium and just somehow have the worst turf in the league. Like, they've come quite a ways. There's Texas high school football fields that have much better services than that.
Yes.
That stadium. There's so much about last night, and especially though, and I'm glad that you keep hammering it this way. You got to look at this offense in the duration of this season, at times with Nico Collins, at times with Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon ran for over 100 yards last night, most of it in the first half. Yeah. In the second half of football games, this offense over the course of 9 games has scored 6 touchdowns. Like 6 touchdowns in 9 games in the second half. That's just awful. That's just incredible. I mean, if you break that up over 4 quarters, yeah. I mean, my God,
there are certain things, Seth, where people just point to it and it's failing. Go, well, that's coaching. Well, that's and I guess ultimately it all does fall on the coaching staff. But sometimes you just have players that can't go do it. When you score 6 touchdowns in the second half of games over the course of more than half the season. Sorry, you know, that's coaching.
And there's not, you know, you take that corner blitz, the very first sack of the game. Yes, they schemed up a corner blitz, and you don't have a blocker for that cornerback. So that's not the issue there with the play call. That's going to happen. But CJ had no answers at that point either, because there's nobody that was hot at that moment. Now, Mixon maybe could have whipped it, probably should have whipped it. Mixon ran right past the blitzing cornerback, DJ Reed, and probably should have whipped his eyes out around a lot faster. I don't know if CJ ever even got to the point where he could look up at it, though. You know, Dalton Schultz kind of gave a half-hearted jab at DJ Reed as he blitzed and then continued on his merry way. So it's not just the offensive line. It's the play calling. It's the tight ends in pass protection. Everything. The wide receivers knowing when they're hot. All of that stuff, you just saw none of it. The most disappointing thing for me when I was reflecting on the game and kind of coming to these realizations about how bad it was I go into that game last night, one of my keys to victory was CJ spreading the ball around. Okay, you got no Nico Collins, you got no Stephon Diggs, you're going to have to spread the ball around. Three Texans caught footballs last night.
Yeah,
that's it. Those are your three. Yeah, yeah. Two wide receivers and one tight end.
He didn't even really spread it around amongst those three. Tank Dell got most of them. You know, like Tank had a buck 50 or something like that last night. Yeah, it's not good. All right. So, how concerned are we about the playoff picture now? You know, 98% chance of this, 97% chance of that. The Indianapolis Colts have to feel like the smartest guys in the room today. We'll explain that. We'll discuss coming up next. But first, Daly and Black, if you are, man, I feel for you. If you're a fan of our football team here and you went to bed last night in the same mood I did, and you're dealing with damage from the recent storms, whether you're a homeowner or a business owner and you're dealing with your insurance company, I mean, sports is supposed to take our mind off of that stuff. You know what I mean? But if you're dealing with that plus insurance stuff, well, I have an elixir for one of them. I don't have a solution for the offense, but I got a solution for your issues with your insurance company, and that's somebody to go fight for you, and that's Daly and Black. law offices here in Houston, Texas, with awesome attorneys. Then, and this is their area of expertise, man. When there are people out there that are getting jerked around by their insurance companies, In Swoops Daily in Black, and they make good things happen. They really do. They've secured some of the largest verdicts out there, according to Top Verdicts Top 10. And they're all in for every client. Go to dailyblack.com and you'll see there's videos on there talking about some of their success stories. It's Daly, by the way. Daly, dailyblack.com. Office is located right here in Houston, Texas. They don't take a dime until they recover for you. So they're investing up front. They're advancing all the case expenses here, and they're going to go to battle for you. Their incentives are directly aligned with yours. Dailyblack.com. If I'm somebody you're describing battling your insurance company, or you're worried about having to do so down the road, keep it in mind. Dailyblack.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
See, man, I'm looking up at the screen in here. The topics, I hate this, man. I knew it was going to be this. Looking up at the screen on ESPN, First Take, are the Texans still legitimate contenders? Coming up next.
You're exactly right. Something you said earlier about how people that kind of just cruise in and check on the Texans here or there, look at DVOA or all that, just figure like, oh yeah, they're doing really well. They're a good team. Like, no, this is stuff that we've seen slowly burn throughout the first half of the season. It was a question of, okay, is it going to click at some point? Yes, they've got wins, but they're playing like a 500 football team. And then you go in and they didn't even do us the service of looking like a 500 football team last night. Last night, Titus Howard, I still can't believe this. He says the most frustrating part was we were the better team. We let that game get away from us. No. On what universe were you the better team last night? You were both awful football teams in the first quarter.
Right.
That was an embarrassment to the game of football in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You were both disgraceful in the first quarter.
I was absolving Al Michaels of any sort of boredom or lack of energy he was having in the first quarter of that game. Because I've been on Al Michaels.
Well, it sounded like he was having fun with it, at least.
He was. You know? No, he was joking around. Like, it was some of the stuff that they were coming back from break with, or Halloween topics that, or costumes that were more probably outside Al Michaels' age range. You know, they'd come back and be like, okay, first and 10. So he was funny last night.
No, I'm still, not to read too much into one quote. Guys don't always phrase things the way they mean to phrase them, but no, you're not the better team.
No.
What part? Like, who plays that football game and thinks, well, we were the better team? For a third week in a row, we didn't score a touchdown in the second half, but we're the better team. Like, what part of you watches your defense allow three straight full field touchdown drives in the second half and thinks that one slipped away from you? You got destroyed.
Yeah.
You're not the better team.
No.
Last night, the Jets were a much better football. You know why? Because there's four quarters in a football game.
Yeah.
Do they need to sit down and explain to these guys the rules of football?
Maybe.
That there's four quarters?
They need to
To be the better team, you've got to actually be better than them for four quarters?
Fellas, I brought in some referees today. I know it's Wednesday. We normally practice, but I brought in some referees today, and they're going to explain some things to you that you're having a little bit of trouble grasping this year, and that's okay. That's why we're bringing these referees in, and the guys are all sitting there, and the referee steps up to the podium. He says, guys, an NFL game, and it's always been this way, but we feel it's good to remind you, has four quarters. And everybody frantically pulls out their iPads and their notebooks, and they're like, four
Wait, quarters. Fact check this guy. Yeah, I'm going to fact check this guy.
Four quarters. This guy's right, actually. I'm looking at all the box scores, and there's four quarters. And then they end the meeting. That's it. The meeting's over. Meeting adjourned.
Yeah, this is the, and the worst thing about that is like, okay, you were the better team last night, and you let it slip away. It was 7-0 at the half.
Dude.
At what point did you, the... You were the less disgraceful team in the first half.
Good way to put it, Seth.
only because you were going against the Jets in the way they played last night. You were less disgraceful than them, and it would have been 7-7 if the rookie running back had held onto the ball for a smidgen longer.
Yeah.
And on that play, by the way, that play, like three different defensive players got collapsed on that play, were completely unaware, just had their eyes in the backfield like kittens watching ping pong, and were just completely sucked inside on that play. So for an easy touchdown, like, no, you were not the better team last night. The Jets were decidedly better than you last night.
Think about the spot the Texans were in on Monday morning when we got, you know, when we got here. Beat the Colts on Sunday. You're 6-2. You're 5-0 in the conference. You're 3-0 in the division. You're 2-0 against the Colts. Every percentage that lines up is lining up with you being a 98% chance of making the playoffs, a 90-something percent chance of winning the division. I would imagine the percentages are still pretty good based on these computers, but the Colts, and so if you're a Colts fan and you're waking up on Monday morning, and again, this is before they made the announcement they were benching Anthony Richardson, you had to feel pretty helpless if you were a Colts fan, that you're two games back, really three, because you lost the two head-to-heads. And to that point, Anthony Richardson was still your quarterback, and you're feeling like, if you're the Colts, you're feeling like, man, is this a football season, or is this a 17-game training camp for Anthony Richardson? This sucks to be a fan of this football team right now. And it's amazing how things can flip so quickly in just 3 days. Now, the Texans are still in the driver's seat, but the Texans have major issues that aren't nearly as easily solved as the Colts solving their major issue this week by benching Anthony Richardson and putting in Joe Flacco. If I'm a Colts fan right now, the combination of naming Joe Flacco the starting quarterback, Seth, and watching that game last night with the Texans and the Jets, and if I'm a Colts player, for that matter, watching that game last night, I have a little extra pep in my step. I'm going, okay, we go to Minnesota and pull off the upset this weekend to a Vikings team that's lost two in a row and is not the same team that started 5-0. We're on national TV this week. Joe's our quarterback now, not Anthony Richardson. We win that game, we're one game back in the standings. I know we don't have the head-to-head, but we are one game back, and the Texans play the Lions on Sunday Night Football. Like, that's how quickly that the vibe can turn.
I don't, you if you, know,
if
honestly,
you have a
man.
Solution to your problem, which the Colts did, they had Joe Flacco. We have no solution to our problem right now.
There are multiple things going on right now, and I know it seems like, well, how much of a difference could just swapping out the left guard make? I think it could make a bigger difference than just the replacement of the player. It does then free you to just actually have Laremy Tunsil go ahead and block the best pass rusher on the team instead of sliding down to help out the left guard. So I think there are some things that would be cumulatively better than just swapping out the left guard. But the part that I get so disgusted about is the fact that the Texans didn't bench Kenyon Green last night.
Right.
They started him. They let Quinnen Williams hit C.J. Stroud repeatedly, and there's no guarantee that Kenyon Green wasn't going to be back out there on the next drive if Kenyon Green hadn't gotten taken out of the... Kenyon Green can't even protect C.J. Stroud from C.J. Stroud.
Right.
You end up getting an injury because of bad pass blocking, and C.J. Stroud hits Kenyon Green.
He can't protect
himself.
He can't
even pass block Kenyon Green.
He can't even protect himself from C.J. Stroud. Yeah.
He can't pass block C.J. Stroud.
Right.
Forget the best defensive tackles in the league. He can't even pass block C.J. Stroud himself. He got taken out by C.J. Stroud on that play.
Yeah. Landed right on his shoulder, man.
Some people thought he might have been faking the injury. Having had my shoulder dislocated, I knew exactly when that happened that was a dislocated shoulder.
You could see it.
Shoulder.
It was, yeah.
That was, yeah. He had his arm extended, got pressure down from the, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel bad that he's injured, and yet, you know what? I don't think the Texans were going to bench him. I can't trust them.
No.
I can't trust them. I don't know what they're making moves to. I don't know if they care about protecting C.J. Stroud. This is like the greatest irony of it. Like, I understand the theories that, okay, well, they want to try to extract some trade value out of Kenyon Green. What has Kenyon Green done in the last 2 weeks where him being on the field has helped out his trade value? Not a damn thing.
Okay.
You're guaranteeing nobody's going to trade for him.
Let me ask you this. Have you allowed your brain to go to a place, and again, maybe I'm being overreactive to this, but hey, sports talk radio, and we've been through this before with a quarterback and this particular agent. Do you ever get concerned watching CJ get beat up like this, and if it keeps happening for a year or two, that Mulligetta steps in?
Well, it happens for two more years. It'll be more that we're like, oh boy, I hope we've got enough money for this GoFundMe that they're giving for CJ to get a third artificial leg,
right?
Or whatever that. Yeah, yeah.
Like, but seriously,
he's on his third leg replacement already.
Does your mind?
Yeah,
ever
I do.
Go there?
Yeah, yeah. If they can't look, I'll go back to as we talked about earlier. In 2021, where the turnaround really started for the Lions was when in week 9, they switched to Ben Johnson as their play caller. And they didn't win a bunch of games that year, but they were a different team. They were a different offense. They were plucky upstarts that everybody loved at that point. And it started with swapping out the play caller. Last year, the Buffalo Bills switched their play caller midway through the season, and it made a difference.
Yeah.
And, so anything's on the table right now. This is where the rubber meets the road. There's multiple things that wrong with this offense right now. The return of Nico Collins is going to be nice and it's going to help, but it's hard to think that that's going to be the only thing. And the offensive line swapping out the left guard with either a veteran or if Jared Patterson ends up being a revelation or something, that can help. But there's times where, man, CJ needs more answers to the test. CJ needs more options. CJ's starting to look. We've seen, really since the Green Bay game, CJ's been more inaccurate in moments where he does have good pass protection.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of throws that CJ typically makes look really easy that have gone errant, yeah. And we've seen it for 3 weeks in a row now. I don't know if that's because of an injury he's playing through or because he's that rattled by the poor pass protection. But, yeah, 100%. If it went like this, if CJ at the end of 3 or 4 years is starting to, it's still a mediocre offense. This is a middling NFL offense right now. They're atrocious in the second half. They're one of the worst in the league in the second half. Then, yeah, I think I could totally see a mulligan angling out of Houston.
It wouldn't be
CJ's fault.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and we get it. Like, it's week 9 of his second year. But I think about it all the time because of the whole Deshaun situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's
how I process my scars from this situation. I'm not saying CJ's Deshaun, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But he's got the same age.
Why'd you wink when you said that? That was awful, Sean.
Wink.
My God.
Because I wink at you all the time. What are you talking about?
Yeah, look. All right. They've got God, I wish these games had been switched. It would be so much easier. They could get beat by 48, the Lions, and it would be easier for me to talk my way back from this one.
Yes.
And then seeing Titus Howard's claim after the game that they were the better team, but they let it slip away. I just don't know what version of football these guys know and understand where you can go come out of that game and say you're the better team than the team that just beat you. There was no part of that second half where the Texans looked like the better team.
No.
Was there a single moment where they looked like a better team in the second half?
No. Well, one play when CJ threw to Tank Dell for 50 yards. I'm like, oh, they are so much better than the Jets on this play for 50 yards to Tank Dell. Other than that, no. No, in the second half, you said there were three drives of substance in the second half that the Jets had. They were all long touchdown drives that ate up 6 minutes worth of clock.
Listen to this dude saying that they were the better team. They let it slip away. First drive of the second half. Jets 70-yard touchdown drive.
Yes.
Okay, wow, they got lucky there, I guess.
Right.
Ooh, Texans counteract that with a 20-yard field goal drive. Right. It was very inspirational there. You knew that things were brewing then.
Yeah.
Jets follow up. 70-yard touchdown drive. Carbon copy of the first one.
Yep.
But the Texans, plucky and dominant team that they were that night, they follow up with a 12-play missed field goal drive.
Yeah, that's right.
They had gotten down and earned a field goal drive, but then they managed to botch that. Thanks a lot, Kymie Fairbairn.
Right.
They still couldn't punch it in the end zone. Next play after that, 80-yard touchdown drive by the Jets, who aren't the better team, according to Titus Howard.
Titus Howard, yeah. These were all really lucky 8 to 12-play drives that they were putting together.
The Jets had 3 70-plus-yard touchdown drives in the second half.
Yeah.
The Texans had 2 field goal drives and a missed field goal drive in the second half.
Yeah.
But somehow, in Titus's mind, they were the better team that night.
Yeah, but Seth.
God, I got to live in that world, man.
Seth,
I got to live in that world. I got to live in that world where, everything's great.
Seth,
everything's great.
How many Instagram followers does Tyron Smith have?
That's true.
You know what
That's
I mean?
True. Yeah.
How many? Add them up. Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith. How many Instagram followers do they have?
Bet it's
I bet it's less than Laremy and Titus.
This offense is so unswarm.
Yeah.
Like, how many guys are in the circle of swarm right now in the offense? I would say
one.
After last night's game.
Joe Mixon was the only one.
CJ Stroud, right. And CJ Stroud by, you know, he's in the season-long circle
sheer
of swarm.
Sheer toughness alone, he deserves to be in there.
But on the field last night, Tank Dell, I think I would put in the circle of swarm from last
night. If I had to, I would, yeah. But
But they don't score it. But again, they didn't score any touchdowns in the second half. Again, touchdowns in the second half the entire season
All season long, yeah.
Without change of some sort, this is not just like a, hey, positive attitude, expect the best, you know. Yeah, but you're supposed to also prepare for the worst. This is the worst.
We'll hear from D'Amico in the next segment. He actually did use the C word, change, in a clip. Are we buying that there is change coming, and what would the change be? And we'll hear from CJ on the pass protection and getting back Nico Collins. We'll hear from CJ Stroud from last night on those topics coming up next. Payne and Pendergast, we'll hand it over to In the Loop at the top of the hour. We'll hear from the fellas. Reggie Attitude.
No, we will not.
John Lopez.
I'll never relinquish it.
Nope. I am ready to go. I am ready to wrap it up for the week, my friend. Yeah. If you want to hang with the fellas, I'll let you do that. I'm heading to the Nugget.
I'm actually going to leave in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm just going to leave early.
Hey, boss won't notice. There's a sidle on out the door.
There you go.
I'm just dumbfounded by Titus Howard claiming that game slipped away from them.
I knew you'd like that quote.
And that they were the better team. Yeah. Honestly, I feel like that's emblematic of everything about how some guys just don't get it on this Texans team and on that offensive line.
In that group, yes. On the offensive line, yeah.
The most frustrating part was we were the better team. We let that game get away from us.
Yeah, it's an idiotic statement.
It was 7-0 at the half.
Yeah.
The Jets had 3 70-plus yard touchdown drives. The Texans had 2 field goal drives. And what? Did these guys watch football? Like, what?
I'm not sure, actually.
What sports writer? Is there a junior high sports reporter that would write up, boy, the Texans let one slip away from them last night. When did it slip away? When they started getting destroyed every single series in the second half. All right.
Do these guys watch? Was that a rhetorical question? Do these guys watch football, or do you want me to answer that? I'm not so sure they do watch football recreationally. I think they watch film of their stuff. I
think there are a lot of guys on the defense that just flat out love and consume and just live, eat, breathe, sleep football.
The swarm factor is locked down on the defensive side of the ball. In a couple spots they need better players, but I feel like the culture on that side of the ball is perfectly fine. I feel like the culture on the offensive side is being infected by the offensive line.
I honestly, it's a work of art, this quote, because it does so many things. It gets so many things wrong. So the quote is, the most frustrating part was we were the better team. We let that game get away from us. Okay, first, let's just start on a sportsmanship level. Let's start there. Let's start with the easy stuff. Credit the opponent, maybe? Something?
Maybe.
I don't know. All right. Nope, not going to do that.
Nope.
So buzzer on that. How about, just... Accept it for what it was. Accept personal responsibility for it.
No.
I feel like he's kind of accepting. Yeah, he's saying we let it slip away.
Yeah.
But then in terms of really, because you know what I've been saying all season long is like, it doesn't seem like the offensive line understands and knows that they are the issue on the team.
Correct.
And so for self-awareness and understanding of the situation, no.
Buzz.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible, horrible.
Does it provide me hope that things are going to get turned around?
Okay, well, let's hear. No, does it? It does not. Yeah, it does not. So D'Amico Ryans asked last night after the game, and D'Amico seemed more concerned or a little saltier or a little angrier about the situation, as he should be. He should have been angry a few weeks ago. How sustainable is it with CJ taking all of this punishment?
As many times you get sacked that many times is not good enough. Right, don't want our quarterback getting hit. As many hits as we took is not good enough, and you know, we gotta make things adjust. We gotta change things moving forward.
We gotta change things. Okay,
yeah.
So that, I mean, we gotta change that. Not, and the change can't be hope and prayer that we play better. Like, that can't be the change. The change has to be something either with personnel along the line, and or some sort of change in who's doing the teaching of this thing.
So whenever you're faced with a crisis, which I know somebody's going to say, hey, they're 6-3, stop it. If you haven't watched this team play over the last few weeks and seen what the offense has done, or more specifically not done, they haven't scored a touchdown in the second half in the last 3 weeks. It's more than that. They're very easily a sub 500 team. They've been playing pretty much like a 500 team the entire season long. So no. Whenever you have a crisis or a problem, what's the biggest change I can make that'll make the biggest difference immediately? And I think finding a guard, a good left guard, maybe it's Jarrett Patterson. We don't know, because they've spent too much time seeing if it's going to work out for Kenyon Green.
Well, he's concussed too, and the trade deadline's on Tuesday. You know?
Right. So you have zero clue.
Yeah.
Because you don't have an extended period of time watching Jarrett Patterson at guard, because they keep trying to see if Kenyon Green is turning into some version of himself that he's never actually showed, but for a couple of quarters in the first game of the season.
I get what you're saying about the record, and I agree with you on that. You know, it's a Fugazi 6-3 right now. Your overall scoring margin is +1. There's a texter on the 5-Hour Energy fan line that I think captures more of what I'm thinking about with all this, which says, I'm not concerned about making or missing the playoffs. I'm concerned about the future of CJ Stroud. And that's 100% what it is for me. I said on the postgame show to Clint last night, Seth, this is not about 21-13 last night. This isn't even about where they are in the standings right now. If you're not concerned about this because of CJ Stroud, you don't know how the NFL works. Like, that's my biggest concern, is that the biggest asset that you can have in sports is a franchise quarterback in the NFL. And your offensive line is allowing the one guy you found to do that. This is the one franchise quarterback that any team has found in the last three drafts, 2021, 22, and 2023. I'm not putting the current rookie class in there. Still too early. The one guy is CJ Stroud. The rest of them are all on other teams backing guys up, or their name is Trevor Lawrence. And you are allowing it to happen right now, where he is getting damaged. He's getting damaged physically. He's getting damaged, I think, football psychologically, whether it's seeing ghosts, or he's being damaged in terms of his accuracy. That's the concern for me. Like, what 9-8, 11-6, 8-9, whatever. My concern is that CJ Stroud's taking a beating right now.
Yeah, and is Bobby Slowick and or whomever else the are they the guys to actually get the best out of CJ Stroud?
Yeah.
Somebody asked me earlier. I tweeted out just that Ben Johnson took over play calling duties in week 9, midway through the year of 2021, and that was kind of the real beginning of the turnaround for the Lions. And Ben Johnson ends up being a genius. So, Corey Barrett asked me, so are you saying that Bill Lazor can do it? I don't know. I don't know if Bill Lazor or Gerard Johnson or Ben McDaniels or anybody else can do it. It's unlikely that any of them are going to be like Ben Johnson, because Ben Johnson seems to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out that there are changes to be made. And when Nick Caserio, or change is an option, and when Nick Caserio says that it's a lazy narrative that the offensive line is an issue, then the only way I can take that at face value is that then, yeah, it's multiple issues. And why are you not changing and fixing
any
them?
Any of them.
Right, yeah. Right. So if it's multiple issues, if it's not just the offensive line, what else is it? And why is nothing being done about it?
Yep.
Is it just, we're just going to keep rolling? They've scored zero touchdowns in the second half in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah,
that's what you're going to invite Detroit into. That's how you're going to keep up with Detroit.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, have one of the best defenses in the league right now.
That's right. And offenses. I mean, they're a really good football team. Here's CJ Stroud asks, how could the pass pro get better?
Play better. All of us. I got to do better getting the ball out. Got to change the pocket. Different drops, you know, and there's a ton of things schematically and scheme-wise we can do. And, we did some of those things, but at the end of the day, we got to execute it. You know, we're grown men. We're paid to play this game. And at the end of the day, when you line up against a guy against you, and you got to win your one-on-one, that was one of our keys of victory. And I didn't do that myself. You know, I always try to win my one-on-one, and I got my butt kicked today, too. So, this is a good time for us to look in the mirror. And, you know, now we get a couple days off and get our bodies back right. And look ourselves in the mirror and really realize, like, what type of football team do you want to be?
Okay. That was CJ. talking about that. And CJ's always going to take ownership of it. I'm guessing CJ Stroud, if he were asked the question, hey, did the better team lose this game tonight? I'm guessing he would not say yes. Totally agree with Titus on that.
Everybody knows the Texans with their plus one scoring differential are the better team over everybody else in the land.
You're right. That is a,
have
that
you
is
not seen
statement.
My Pro Football Focus ratings?
Hey, one more.
Do you even selectively search out stats that show that things are actually better than they are?
Oh my God. Let me get one more.
The Jets were the better team last night. After looking like hopeless fools, same way the Texans offense did in the first half.
Let me get this one in. Just I teased it. CJ Stroud on Nico Collins coming back.
No, Nico's definitely a big chunk of that. You know, of course, Steph as well. So, praying for those guys, and you know, but at the same time, like, there's things that even if they were out there, maybe you know, it wouldn't even help. So, there's a ton of things that you know we can work on. But one thing that you know, the sun will rise the next day and tomorrow, and we'll be able to you know play another game next week and be blessed doing it. So, you know, it's not time to hang our head down, feel sorry for ourselves. It's time to answer the call. And you know, we got guys in that locker room that I believe in, I trust in, and, you know, I think, you know, we're going to be able to be a really good football team, and just, you know, it doesn't define us, but it definitely, you know, is a great wake-up call.
Okay. So is this a team that takes what happened last night and they process it as fuel for yet another nationally televised game coming up, Sunday Night Football at NRG Stadium against the Detroit Lions? We shall find out over the next 10 days. John Lopez is here. Reggie Atatula is here.
Don't forget Monday Night Football the week after.
Yeah,
that,
I know. Right? Like, I know, man. The nation's getting a good look at what's going on.
Oh, great.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, I said this to Seth earlier. I do feel like there's been an element of the Texans when it comes to the national media.
Mm-hmm.
These guys can't watch every game every Sunday. And the fact of the matter is the Texans have played one nationally televised game. It was against the Bears in week two. And the Texans, I think, were the better team that night, allowed the Bears to hang around. Favorable impression overall. Sacked Caleb Williams 7 times. And then other than that, they're just in the muck of noon Sunday games for the last 8 weeks. And so I think there's been this thing where they're like, well, they keep winning. They beat the Bills. That's a good win. You know, they blew out the Patriots, blah, 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 whatever. So they're sixth, or they're fifth, or they're seventh. I think last night the nation got a good look at what's a lot of the issues are with the Texans. These are the things that when they play bad teams, by and large, they at the very least allow them to hang around. Last night they allowed a team that I think is probably better than its record to actually go and destroy them in the second half of this game.
Yeah, what do they typically say? Winning is the best deodorant?
Yeah.
Starting to smell a little funky.
Right? A little funky, man, after last night. Yeah, that was not fun at all, watching that game. I asked Seth earlier, when did that game stop being fun? Because the answer for me was literally like after the first
series. I was like,
series.
Did it start being fun?
Yeah, the first quarter was an embarrassment to the game of football.
Yeah, man.
It was really, I mean, the amount of, like, these were the series in the first quarter. Punt, punt, fumble, punt, punt, fumble, punt, punt. Those
real
are both,
football,
both
baby.
Teams.
Real football.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a near touchdown in there. Briefly, until it was reversed on replay, there was a touchdown by
Malachi
the Jets
Corley. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, Tommy Townsend and Thomas Morstead's families were like, this is awesome. This is amazing football.
I saw the huge Morstead punt, and the sickness in me was like, oh, so the cayenne pepper on the water really does work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he was the one who brought it to Rodgers.
He did. It was working. I wonder if he guzzled some at halftime. It looked like he did.
That was Morstead secret stuff was just cayenne pepper and water in the bottle.
Yeah, man. And he walked over to Rodgers and said, are you sure you drank enough of this before the game?
I wonder if Kenyon Green rubbed some on his eyes.
okay, when?
Not
is
the
this
way
how
to
you,
that.
Is this how you do it?
Do you think they would have taken him out at any point if they so you thought he playing the way he played, you think he would have wound up playing the whole game?
Well, they kept him in.
They did.
Until he got hurt.
He got knocked out in the second quarter.
Because had they taken him out, it would have been before that series.
Okay.
I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. He'd already shown that he was going to be hopeless and lost against Quinnen Williams.
It's crazy.
It was really he'd already shown it. That wasn't the first time Quinnen Williams had hit C.J. Stroud.
Exactly.
When he ended up also dislocating Kenyon Green's shoulder.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.